Well, welcome back to the Mike Kara Radio Show, Eye on the Community, and we definitely have our eye on the community here at the Woodridge Public Library. And my guest today is Jerry Armstrong, and we've been talking, Jerry, about, you know, your music career and all the things you do, and we want to talk about how much you actually help the community. And I know there's this misconception as we're talking off the air that, you know, when people feel that you're professionally paid to do something, you know, that that is not helping the community. But in fact, it is, you know, when you could provide a service and make all of the veterans on Veterans Day, you know, smile and actually get people that have never danced ever. I've never seen some of these people dance, actually get out there and, you know, shake a leg or something like that, cut a rug. And I guess we want to talk about that, the fact that you do a lot of these VFW dances and things like that then.
Yeah, I do a wide variety. I mean, I also do a lot of retirement senior center nursing homes, for example. It's something I do during the week in the afternoon, and along with VFWs, mooses, lounges, festivals, weddings, you know, any place that needs entertainment, you know, I'm usually try to get involved in that. One of the things I like doing a lot is the retirement nursing homes, because it's a lot of people, they don't aren't able to, because of the physical state they're in at the time, they don't have much of a way to get out. So, you know, I'll come there, and it's a different kind of entertainers. And because they are older, they remember Sinatra and Dean Martin. It brings them back. You know, a lot of times when I'm done, it says, oh, you brought me back, the memories, everything, you know. And but there are good causes out there. There are times when there are fundraisers, or you have a charity and people need to raise some money, and we're happy to do that if we can help.
Right, so a lot of different events throughout the year, and a lot of weddings. And I guess the question is Christmas or the winter time your busiest season? Do you find yourself that's your busiest season, or is the summer your busiest season?
Well, actually, I would have to say you have a dead time, and that is right after New Year's. I mean, it's a lot of musicians, entertainers take January and February off, because up until, you know, you got the holidays, you got Thanksgiving, you got the Christmas, everybody's got a lot of Christmas corporate parties, they're all in a festive mood, and then all the way, and it peaks at New Year's, and then after that, everybody's broke because they spend all their money on Christmas presents or all the parties, and things slow down, and people don't go out as much to clubs, and of course, it's Chicago area, you know, the weather and everything like that, not as many people go out in January and February, so I'd have to say there's a slowdown period in the business. For a lot of bands and entertainers, I guess the summertime can be the busiest time, majority of them.
Right, and we now want to talk about, you know, I always talk with musicians and, you know, getting out to the crowd, getting out to the festivals, that's, you know, definitely feeling that energy. But I want to ask you if part of what you do is getting into the studio in recording, or most of what you do is live shows. I mean, do you actually get into a studio? I know we have your CD there, but do you actually release CDs?
Not really, because a lot of material I do is cover older material. I mean, I have a CD of my band that I did years ago, but everything I do is live. I don't get much to go into the studio much. One of these days I would like to try original material, songs that I had written, but that's a very tough business, and I always feel awkward trying to sell people CDs of original material, especially from a, you know, from a band that just plays a lot of oldies, I guess you could say.
And we were talking off the air about how important marketing is. You know, you could be the greatest musician or greatest singer, greater performer in the world, but you need to get, you know, that message out there. And we were talking, so I'm assuming that pretty much at this stage of your life, you're your own manager, you're your own promoter, getting out there and, you know, trying to market yourself. And tell us, how is all this marketing going for you?
Well, I've been doing this off and on for almost over 32 years off and on, and I started doing this seriously a few years ago full time, so it being an income, and now it's, you really got to get the ball rolling. And it's a tough business. I wouldn't recommend it for most people, because you got to have a nest egg. Money doesn't start coming in right off the bat. And a lot of people, they've never heard of you before, especially if you have a unique type of solo act like my impressionist or type of act. Nobody's seen it, not familiar with it, they're afraid to hire it. It's a difficult thing. It's one of those things, you get out of it what you put into it. it has to be something you really love and enjoy, and put the time and energy into it. Otherwise, it just ain't going to pan out.
Right. And now, as far as, you know, making, you know, having the investment in this thing, now you probably have to buy all of your, you know, obviously all your own equipment and have your own sound system. But I know some festivals have it where they have their own sound system. They actually want to, you know, have their own sound system. So I'm wondering, you know, there's a certain amount of money that needs to be put into equipment then.
Oh yeah, that's the hardest thing is, you're first starting out. How much do I need? I mean, I know a lot of musicians. They drop a ton of money in equipment, and it'll take them years to pay for it, as far as bookings. And I'm one of those. Well, I the money I make from the business, I try to put it back into the business again. I have to make a living, so I'm always improving on my equipment. I have really the bare essentials. Sometimes I'm embarrassed at what I have, but it gets the job done. I mean, I see some musicians, entertainers, they got some great stuff, but you know, mine is a shoestring budget. It as long as I sound good and people like it, so don't look at my equipment, just judge my entertainment, and that's all that matters, I guess.
Right. So we've been talking that you perform for, you know, weddings. We've been talking about, you know, VFWs, you know, all sorts of, you know, benefits, so birthday parties. And so there's a lot of things that you do, and do people ever ask you to, you know, request different costumes or perform any interesting things, or do you pretty much set the tone for what you do?
Well, you know, you try to learn from successful entertainers, like every other venture in this world, whether it be a carpenter or a doctor, you find a mentor, and you try to find people who are really good in it. There's a guy out in Vegas, Danny Gans. He's the number one act in Vegas, and he's an impersonator. He sings a lot of different tribute to the stars type thing, and he's made it big. I try to learn from him and other ones like that. And, of course, you're limited by your talent. I mean, they can do things that you can't do yet, you know. Or you might find yourself doing something that you haven't seen them do, so you try to implement it in your act. So, and with a little bit of fun and comedy, the whole idea is to entertain the audience, you know. There's a lot of very good musicians out there, and I always try to tell my band members, it says, you know, you got to be more than just good musicians. You're entertainers. If people wanted to hear the music played real perfect, they just put the jukebox on, okay? They want to be entertained, you know. You know, talk to them, work the crowd, get them dancing, make it a fun, enjoyable experience, you know.
Right. And now we want to talk, it was you talking about marketing. One big thing I know is me having a presence on the internet. I know myself, I have just about everything I do on the internet. And I know that, Jerry, you have some of your, you know, clips of what you do on the internet. So I want to talk about your website and how that is definitely a big resource for you.
I tell you, the internet's changed things a lot for the entertainment industry. I mean, not only because, well, obviously because people can download music, but as far as information, you can go to a website, an entertainer's website, mine. You can download some songs I've done. You can download some video of what you can see me in action as Sinatra or Elvis on some of that. And it has helped tremendously. I mean, up until like 3 or 4 years ago, the old-fashioned way was you made a press kit, you know, pictures of the band, song list, any clippings, and you put it in a folder, and you had a CD in there, a DVD, and you went around and you mailed those to nightclubs or agents and all that, and that took time, and you hoped that they saw it. Whereas in reality, now you give somebody a business card and says, "Here, you know, go to my website," and you got pictures. You can print them out. You can download material. You can. It's incredible. And now they have a lot of agents that work on the internet. So agents, you know, agent websites, so people can go there and check out all the entertainers, and that'll direct you to their website. It's just been a great thing for me, because it used to be 90% of my bookings 5 years ago were walking, beating the pavement. Now it's reversed. I'd have to say like 80-90% of mine is off the internet.
Okay, we're going to be going to break in just a moment. Before we do, I want to, you know, you do so much, and I wanted to ask you, you know, if you can't answer this, what is your favorite entity, or, you know, if you have a favorite part? You know, you do the, you know, tribute artists, you know, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, you do the band, and I equate that to my examples. I have a television show, I have a radio show, I do websites, I do special projects, and I always say they're like my children, or like my babies. You know, I love them all equal, but I mean, is there a particular project or thing or entity that you do that, you know, you really get excited, or are they all neat and fun to do?
Well, my biggest challenge is my tribute to the stars, trying to sound just like them. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but a lot of times I just got done singing at a school, a high school. I sang for some teachers today, and I did my Sinatra and Dean Martin. And a lot of them I nail, and a lot of people, they think I'm lip syncing. I've gotten to the point now where people walk up to me and say, you know, you lip sync really well. I says, no, that wasn't me. And I've learned that maybe in the middle of the song, I'll stop singing, make a comment so they realize I'm not lip syncing. And I've changed my promo material to say his real voice. My goal is obviously to try to sound just like, because there are a lot of people, they can sound just like Elvis, they can sound just like Sinatra, but that's all they can do. Where my goal is to have the ability to have many voices and nail them all. And that's something I've been working on for years.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry. My guest is Jerry Armstrong. We're going to be back for our final segment. You are listening to the Mike Carra Radio Show, Eye on the Community, here in the Woodridge Public Library. Please stay with us.